Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, November 8th, 2016, and with me today in the second day of my week-long interviews with authors and writers from the Apple community, David Sparks, also known as Mac Sparky. David, how are you doing?
Great, Jeff. Happy to be here.
And I am so glad you're here. Thank you very much. And for the few people that may not know who you are a podcaster. You do the Mac Power Users with Katie Floyd.
Yep.
And Free Agents with Jason Snow.
I do.
And then you have several books under your belt, and you've even made the transition from writing for other publishers to being self-published.
Yep, I stuck it to the man.
Good for you. And I'm really looking forward to talking about all of these things. But before we get into that, I need to let everyone know we have a sponsor this week. And that sponsor is Casper Mattresses, which I'm pretty excited about. Casper is the company that makes the mattress that I'm using, and I'm pretty glad about that because I have a mattress that actually helps me sleep. And that's saying a lot because it's no secret that I have serious sleep issues. So anything that helps me improve my sleep patterns is a big win for me. And Casper totally fits in with that. I've been using one of their mattresses for a couple of years. And well, actually, I guess it's a little bit longer than that now. I've been using one of their mattresses for a few years. And I have been so pleased with the improvement that I have seen in my sleep patterns. And I wasn't sure in the beginning if their mattress would do what they claimed. Turns out it did. I actually documented my sleep patterns over a three-month window before and after having the mattress. Seriously, I totally get into doing things like that. And so I have the numbers to show that my sleep improved in those 3 months after getting a Casper mattress. So they've designed this mattress that's made out of different types of foam all sandwiched together, and they found the right kinds to put together in the right mix so you get something that's comfortable. It's not too hard, it's not too soft, and it has the right amount of bounce in it for whatever you might be doing in your bed, and it's just a really good mattress. I'm so happy to have mine. I'm also happy because they charge a reasonable price for their product. I have a queen size mattress and it costs $850. But if you went to buy something similar from another company, it could cost you well over $1,000, which kind of sucks. So $850 is a lot better. And what I think you guys should do is go pick up one for yourself, because even if you don't like it, and I don't think that's going to happen, they'll take it back. It comes with a 100-day guarantee. So you can test it out and really make sure it works for you. And if it doesn't, they'll take it back. But like I said, I don't think that's going to happen. So here's what you need to do. You need to head to their website. That's casper.com/TDO. And you want to use that URL so that they know where you came from and so that you can use the discount code TDO. So that's casper.com/TDO and use the discount code TDO, $50 off your mattress. That's a beautiful thing. So you can actually pick up a mattress for less than your friends that aren't listening to Daily Observations. So go check it out. casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. Okay, so now we can dive in to your world, David. And I'm excited you're here because it's just been far too long since we've had a chance to really talk. And I love that I have so many friends that are so talented in the Apple community. And now here you are.
Yeah, I you know, you and I used to always have breakfast together every year at Macworld. I don't have to remember. But we did that for years, and I don't get to see you anymore. That's no fun. Why don't you come to California someday? You know, come down here to Southern California. Let's go to Disneyland together.
Oh, my God. I would love that.
All right.
Okay.
And your girlfriend. You know, we'll go out. We'll have a good time.
Okay. I am totally up for that. Disneyland, to me, is, you know how they say it's the happiest place on earth? To me, it really is the happiest place on earth.
It is pretty awesome. Yeah, I agree.
It's great. So, all right. So now you've been writing for a long time. And yeah. And you started out not writing specifically for yourself. No, wait. What's a better way to ask that?
Well,
how
I mean,
did you get into this?
I was doing the blog for myself for a long time, but the first book I published was for Wiley Press. It was Mac at Work. I don't even remember what year. I think it was 2010 that book published, but now I don't recall. And then the following year, I did one for them called iPad at Work. It was right after the iPad was released, whenever that was. And that was great. It was a good experience. Nice people. And but, you know, tech writers aren't really super valuable to the publishing community because, you know, the books don't have a long shelf life because they're tech books. And I just wanted to try it on my own. So after doing the two books, I decided to make the switch and started doing my self-publishing stuff.
Okay, so I just have to tell you, I had forgotten about the Mac at Work title.
Yeah.
But the iPad at Work.
Yeah.
No kidding. I have a copy of it on my shelf right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's kind of old now. I'm not sure it's that good anymore.
That's not the point. The point is it was a cool book and you wrote it and I just couldn't bring myself to take it off the shelf.
Nice.
Actually, I have several books like that that are technically outdated, but I won't take them off my shelf because friends wrote them and they're just cool.
Yeah. Well, I was the original. I went iPad only at work for like 6 months getting that book written. I really kind of ate my own dog food, and this was kind of in rough days to be using an iPad only. That was a lot of fun putting that one together. But I wanted to do more. You know, I wanted my books to. I felt like they're about digital things. They should be more digital. And Wiley was great, but you know, it's a big company. They make books for Barnes and Noble and stuff, and Amazon. And I wanted books that did a better job of explaining things. I'll never forget. I think it was Mac at Work. I wanted to explain how to create a sparse disk image, and you know, publishing constraints were on me. I had like so many pages, and I think I was allowed to have two or three screenshots to explain that, which is kind of difficult for a semi-complex operation that everybody should know about, but it's a little complex. And then I did the same thing when I did my first self-published book. I embed screencasts, I guess, to cut to the chase. My new books are all digital and they have videos in them. They like basically have a feature length movie inside of them explaining how to do everything I talk about. And I did a 2-minute screencast to show how to make a sparse disk image. And I remember looking at that video and thinking how much easier it would be for someone that didn't know anything about sparse disk images to make one after watching that video as compared to reading the 5 pages and screenshots I had in the old book. So,
yeah,
you know, so the books I make now are very much media intense, lots of screenshots, lots of video screencast showing how to do. And I call them the Mac Sparky Field Guides. And I do them through iBooks Author, but I also sell them as independent PDFs with the video files attached as kind of like a separate media file.
Mm-hmm. So since you're doing your books through iBooks and independently.
Yes.
Where do you see more sales coming from?
iBooks, especially when they're new. I mean, the books are made for the iBooks experience. When you buy one of my books on your Mac, iPad, or iPhone, everything is self-contained. You tap a button and you can jump to the video. The book is hyperlinked. I mean, there's just a lot more you can do. I mean, iBooks Author in some ways is a real terrible app, and you know, it gives you like all sorts of grief when you're making a book, but the product that comes out of it is super nice. And you know, you have complete control over the layout. You can have, you know, hyperlinks inside the book. You can have embedded video and media. So the experience is, I think, ideal for watching it through the iBooks Author and the iBooks app. When people ask me which one should they buy, I say, well, I make $3 less because most of them are $10. Some of them are $20 now, depending on which one you buy. But, you know, I give 30% to Apple for anything you buy through iBooks Author, but I recommend you buy that one anyway because I think it's a better experience.
You know, the iBooks experience, I have to agree, it can be really cool and really compelling. And I believe that your email field guide is the one that I have in iBooks.
Yeah.
And I'm picturing all my iBooks in my head. And yep, there it is. I can see it now. And it's one of those things where actually I don't think I'd want it outside of iBooks. It's just a really good experience there, and a really good book too.
And then when I do updates, it just comes out automatically.
Oh yeah, good point. So you don't have to go and re-download a file. It just happens.
Yeah, it's a great experience. I mean, I don't know who my customers are. You know, that's kind of weird, right? You know, because, it's just. I remember at the time I was getting ready to go multimedia with my books, and I'm sure it's changed since then. And I haven't kept up as much as I should with the Amazon options. But Amazon really didn't have anything like what I was doing. And the cost, because Amazon charges you, in addition to their cut, at least at the time I was looking into it, they also charged you a fee per megabyte. And it was going to end up being like every book I sold was going to end up costing like $80 in download fees, because my books are like, you know, it's like a gigabyte size book because it's got a movie in it. And it's not one long movie, but like let's say whatever subject I'm teaching about presentations. So I've got in that presentation book probably like, I don't know offhand, but I think it's about 40 different videos showing different ways to pull off tricks with Keynote or how to give better presentation tips. And so I've got all these little kind of micro videos as you go through it. And it adds up to usually an hour and a half or 2 hours by the time you're done. And that's a lot of video. So the books are very big, and Apple doesn't complain. They're like, that's fine. You know, we can do that and just give us our 30%. And so it's a very good model for me. Not to mention, you know, the people who read my stuff are interested in Apple stuff. So it works. If I had a product that wasn't Apple focused, I was doing an Android book, I'm not sure how well it would make sense to sell it through the iBook store.
Probably not much sense.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. So now, when you were writing your first two books for Wiley, and having written books myself, I know the process. So I know that you had to go through the whole thing where you were submitting chapters and they had editors that were helping. And so you'd go through the whole cycle of edits and edits, and then finally it's done. And then it's off to press. So now that you've made the transition to being self-published, I'm assuming the process is more streamlined because you're right there for the whole thing. But how do you handle the editing process? Do you have extra eyes looking at your books?
Yes, I do. I have, the editing process for Wiley, I have so much pity for the people who had to edit me, right? Because I went into it with a kind of a different voice. If you read Max Sparky, I don't write like most tech writers. I do bring a degree of whimsy to it. It's not really forced so much as my day job is I'm a lawyer. And when I write about tech stuff, I like to have fun with it. And, when you're a company like Wiley, you can't have people writing like goofy things in their books too much. You know, just they've got like kind of an overall theme for the whole, you know, technology portion of their business. They have certain standards they want to follow, and then when I write in saying I want to say this, and they're like, no, you can't say that, and then I would try something else. And you know, so I was really bucking against their system, and I don't really think that they were at fault for the way they wanted it to be done, but that wasn't really the way I wanted it done. Like I when I wrote the first field guide, it was the paperless book, and I put in the front at the mission statement for the Max Sparky field guides is to turn every reader into a badass wielder of technology. That was kind of my goal, you know, and I even made t-shirts with that on last year. I never could have put that in a Wiley book, you know, stuff like that you just can't do. So so getting away from the, you know, more traditional editors was good. But then I had this whole thing in my mind because I'm also nuts about Star Wars. Yeah, I grew up with it. As everybody knows, I talk about it all the time. In fact, I just put a picture on my website today of my Yoda pumpkin, which is pretty awesome.
I saw that.
Anyway, so I thought, you know, so I have this thing about Star Wars, how they were, it was really great, and then the prequels were made, and they weren't that great. And I think one of the reasons is because George Lucas didn't have people looking over his shoulder. He got to do whatever he wanted. So my thing when I wrote that first independently published book was, I don't want to prequel this book. You know, I don't want to get so into, you know, sticking it to the man that I make a bad book. So I have a couple people that read for me. I have some people that are pretty tech savvy that I usually have read towards the end just to see that, you know, they agree with what I'm recommending and are happy. And my primary editor is a very nice lady who's really good and smart in terms of the English language and, you know, the grammar Nazi, although I hate that term. She's very good at, you know, catching mistakes, but she also knows a little bit about technology, but not a ton. And she serves a great purpose for me because she'll say, you know, I didn't really get this part. And because she truly is not somebody who already knows this stuff, I need it to work for her. So if she tells me she didn't get a part, then I start rewriting. So I go through that process with her. And then when it's done, one of the interesting things is now the layout. I don't just take hands off. When you wrote for an independent publisher, after you submit the Word documents or whatever, you're done. Whereas now it's like, no, I'm doing layout and I'm doing, you know, book stuff and production stuff. There's a whole bunch of things to do. And then you got to make, you know, a couple hours worth of videos, which is another, you know, significant investment of time.
Sure. You know, the whole thing with being involved with the layout of your book, that's, to me, that's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because if you are involved, you can really make sure that the book expresses who you are and expresses exactly what you want. But the downside is now you have to invest a lot of time in design and layout.
Yeah, I did it all myself for a while. When I got to the, because they're called field guides, so I always have this vision in my head, kind of like an antique-y field guide, you know, like something kind of rugged Indiana Jones feel to it.
Sure.
And if you've read any of the books, you can see I use like artwork that seems appropriate for that. And it's refined over the years. When I did the email book, I hired Mike Rohde to do all the artwork in the book, which came out really nice. This most recent one is my presentations field guide. And I actually had a designer help me with it, help with the layout and help with some of the artwork. And I think it's the best looking one of all of them. And they helped me with a better cover. So the next one that was supposed to be out by now, but honestly, it's probably going to be the new year before it gets out. The covers are getting better art now, and it's getting more of a refined process.
All right, that's cool. And the way you said almost casually, it was supposed to be, the new book's supposed to be out by now, but probably not till the first of the year or after the first of the year. That didn't just slide right by me.
Yeah.
The fact that you didn't have stress in your voice, that tells me a lot about self-publishing. Because,
well, I don't know. I have put myself under stress because it's been over a year since I released one of these. I do a couple different types of products like this. I do the Max Sparky field guides, which are the books. And then I also do the Max Sparky video field guides. And occasionally, like, I get a lot of requests for a certain app. Like, OmniFocus is a good example. That's sure. An app that everybody loves, but it's, you know, you got to figure it out. And I had so many people writing and saying, I want a field guide on OmniFocus. And what they really wanted is not a long book on OmniFocus. I'm sorry. Whoops.
No, I totally get that. We're all busy people.
I forgot
people.
To turn everything off. Sorry, excuse
That's
me.
That's right. That just means that when we get together, the first beer's on you.
Okay.
Second beer will be on me.
All right. Done. Anyway, so everybody was saying do a book on OmniFocus, but they don't want me to write 20,000 or 50,000 words on OmniFocus. They want to see how they use OmniFocus. So rather than doing a book on it, I did this video field guide. The current version 2 is out now. It's I think 3 hours of video on OmniFocus, and it's great. If you watch it all, you're going to be a pro at it. But people didn't really want a book for that. Well, for a variety of reasons, I've done 2 or 3 of those in a row now because there were some products that I was just getting tons of requests for. Mm-hmm. Now I'm getting back to a book, you know, iBook author book, and I'm really happy. I'm an iBooks author now. Pretty routinely as I'm putting this book together, and I'm still writing some and laying some other parts out, and it feels good to be there. And I've just decided I'm not going to put stress on myself about it. It's going to release when it's done. And that's probably going to be shortly after the new year.
All right. And now that, that I realized you have updated your OmniFocus videos, which I feel bad I didn't realize, I totally need to go check that out because I'm a big OmniFocus fan, and anytime I can learn something new, I am all about that.
Yeah, it was a free update if you bought the original one, and the update has got like 45 minutes of additional content because they have opened up automation in a huge way in OmniFocus, especially on iOS. So now you can template all your common projects. If you're writing, you know, if you have like make this podcast every week, you can have a template of like 15 tasks that you have to do, and it's all date relative, and you just push a couple buttons and recreate the project every week. It's super easy.
Yeah, I need to be doing that.
Yeah, just watch the last 45 minutes of the latest version and you'll be a pro.
All right, I will totally do it. We're out of time. As much already? As it pains me, I know.
Sorry.
I know. It just pains me, but we're out of time. So before we go, where can people find you? What links do you want people to go to?
If you go to maxsparky.com, you'll find all the stuff I do. It's all there. If you want to go to the podcast, we're on the Relay Network, relay.fm/MPU for Mac Power users, and relay.fm/freeagents for the free agents, which is a show about independent workers. Jason Snell and I stuck it to the man. You know, we quit our jobs. So we decided to do a podcast about it.
Which I think is absolutely awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah. Do you want people finding you on Twitter? Any places like that?
Sure. I'm at Max Sparky on Twitter. That's about the only social media that I'm regular on.
All right. Sounds good to me. And wow. Thank you for making the time to join me today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Really nice catching up with you.
Oh, yeah. This has been wonderful. What I need to do is come up with excuses to do things like this more often so that I can talk to more of my friends. That's really what I need to do.
Count me in.
Okay. I absolutely will. And Casper, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO to get $50 off your order. And they're going to ship to you for free, meaning no shipping costs. And I think that's just a beautiful thing. So go check it out, casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.